The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house this morning. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Bert and Mark for our prelude today. And let me say, Bert, it's good to have you back. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome to worship this day, and thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday in May. We are still in the season of Easter for the Christian church as we worship the risen Lord. May the Spirit meet us in our hour of worship this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Take a moment and fill out a visitor's card. You can drop it in the offering plate following the worship service this day. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I want to remind you, you can all go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our hour of worship this day. But also, knowing what's coming up in the life of our church today and for this week and in the coming weeks. I also want to remind you, if you're a first-time viewer online, send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here and those watching online, I do want to remind you that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, church council will meet upstairs. Ministry teams, make sure that you have a representative from your team who will be present for the meeting this afternoon. I also want to remind you that we will also be having our second session in our Bible study, Reckless Love. That'll be at 5 p.m. This afternoon, not at 4 p.m., which is our normal time. It'll be at 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Today's session, we'll be looking at how to expand our circle of love. That'll be our focus for today. Of course, that study is live upstairs, if you can join us, but also it'll be on Facebook Live. So you can watch us, join us online, or at a later date on our Facebook page. Youth Intensity will also meet at 5 p.m. tonight as well. Looking ahead to this week, we've got a busy week of ministry. Tuesday, fun and fellowship trip to Greensboro, breakfast at Spring Valley Restaurant, followed up by a trip to Hamrick's. If you have not signed up, you need to sign up today. Gay needs to know who is going on this trip. You're going to meet here at 8:30 a.m. and then head up for breakfast and then that trip to Hamrick's. Sign up today if you're planning on going. Tuesday afternoon, we're also having our ministry at Golden Year Senior Center at 1:30. If you plan on going to help with this ministry, make sure you talk to Sandy French, so she knows who's planning on going for that ministry on Tuesday afternoon. Of course, choir rehearsal will be on Wednesday at 6:30. I do want to remind you about our mission in gatherings that are taking place right now, and we're wrapping up one of those in just a couple days. First off, Tuesday of this week is the deadline to bring in items for the Elon Reading Day goodie bags. These are the bags we put together for our Elon college students as they prepare for final exams. Their reading day is coming up this next week. Our goal is to put together 70 of those bags together, and we need your help. So if you have brought things to get by the church to place in these bags, thank you for your assistance already. But if you forgot to bring items and you would still like to bring those by the church, Tuesday's the deadline. We need all those items in by Tuesday. For the month of May, our missions gathering for the entire month, we're helping out Joe's Diner at Allied Churches. They're having the collection Season Everything with Love as they collect the spices that are used in their kitchen throughout this entire year. You'll look in at the front of your bulletin, also in the May newsletter, about the spices they specifically need, what they use throughout the year. Pick up some of those items while you're at the grocery store. You can drop those off in the collection bins upstairs in the fellowship hall or at the end of our hallway in the communication center. Also want to remind you about a couple things, other things that are going on. In your bulletin, you will notice that 2 weeks from today, we will have a special roundtable meeting immediately following the worship service that morning. And the sole reason for that meeting is that we can vote on our deacon nominating team for this year. We're coming up on that time where we're going to consider who will be serving as deacons for this next year for our church. And we have a nominating team will be a part of that leading process. 2 weeks from today, we'll vote on that team. Now, the names are not listed there, but I'm going to go ahead and share those with you, and they will be listed in the bulletin next week. The deacon nominating team that we will be bringing forward at that meeting to vote on are Angie Miller, Sandy French, John Hines, Brian Carroll, Tommy Hill, and Burt Powers. So those are the names that will serve on the nominating team. So thank you for those six who have said yes, being willing to do that. Prayerfully consider that those nominations coming in 2 weeks. But be in prayer for them as they do go through this process of serving as the nominating team. And also be in prayer for that process, that maybe you might be one of the individuals that might be asked to serve as a deacon for this upcoming year. This is all a part of the way we can serve God in this community as we serve the body of Christ. So that meeting will be in 2 weeks following the worship service. I also want to let you know that Alamance Choir will be having a concert on Tuesday, May 6th, at Williams High School, 7:30. A couple of these individuals behind me are singing in that group. They're having a concert, Sing Out Your Joy, so come out if you would like to. It's free. It is free, right? I am right on that. It is a free concert. It's at Williams High School on Tuesday, so come out if you would like to listen to some great music at 7:30 at Williams on Tuesday. Last but not least, this lady right here beside me, I shared last week, and all of you already know this, will be having surgery this week on Thursday. So I ask that you lift up special prayer for Gay this week, starting now and leading into this week, but Thursday's the day. So be in prayer for her, especially on Thursday, and we will let you know as soon as that surgery goes well. But we will let the church body know when it goes well on Tuesday. But be in prayer for her. Was that Jerry needs a prayer? Throw a couple prayer Jerry's way if you want to. But anyway, but I want to encourage you to give her an extra hug today as she prepares for this surgery. But we'll be in prayer for you this week. And then after the surgery, leave her alone for a little bit. Let her rest. As I said last week, she doesn't always take it easy. following the recovery process. We want her to do that. So, again, be in prayer for her this week. Now we gather here today to lift praise to our risen Lord Jesus the Christ. Let us sing praise to him this morning.
David's trying to make me cry this morning.
Oh.
Let's stand and let's sing, "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me." Let's stand.
Scripture reading today is Psalm 30. Listen to these words. "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? Am I going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." No matter what is going on in our lives, no matter where we find ourselves, whether we feel like we're in the pit or whether we're on the top of a mountaintop, we know we can lift praise to God and give him thanks for who he is and what he does for us. And that is why we gather here today. Let us pray this morning. Eternal and ever-present God, sustain and excite our gathered community this day. Arouse our expectancy, subdue our expectations. Come, silent spirit, and embrace us. Let the words that we see and hear and speak and sing be transformed by the word made flesh, that our worship may be wholly yours, Lord God. We lift this prayer in the name of the risen Lord Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Let's stand.
for our ministry highlight today. On Sunday, May 25th, we will honor our 2025 graduates here at First Baptist Elon. This year, we have one high school graduate and seven college graduates. Now, while all of our graduates unfortunately will not be able to be with us on May 25th, we are all going to try to recognize them in person at a later date in June. But on that morning of May 25th, we'll honor the graduates and their families with a grad brunch in our prayer garden. Then, in the morning worship service, as we've always done, we will recognize each graduate individually, allowing them to share about their accomplishments and their future plans, if known, and then presenting them each with a gift on behalf of the congregation. So I want to ask you that please be in prayer for each of these graduates and their families, because as they near the celebratory dates of their graduations, this is a big moment for them. And we pray for health, we pray for a wonderful time with family and friends, but also we want you to plan on being here on May 25th as we honor our graduates here at First Baptist. Now, if you would like a list of the graduates that are graduating this year, all you have to do is opening the pages of your May newsletter, which I know all of you have done and read thoroughly, but you can find the list of the graduates there in your newsletter, and they're found right there. And if you bring gifts or cards on that day, we will have them ready for the graduates on May 25th. But now, at this time, I'll call on Deacon Sandy French for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with joy and gratitude in our hearts for all the blessings you've given us. Like the disciples, sometimes we're looking in the wrong directions for things we think we need. Help us to look and listen to you, Lord. You're faithful to show us the right direction and to provide for our needs in ways that far exceed our imagination. Father, may we accept this provision you've given us, and with joy and gratitude, return a portion to you in our tithes and offerings. Please bless these offerings and use them to bring abundance where there is need and to further your kingdom on earth. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, my Lord, we pray.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. If you would, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to encounter His word once again this morning. Let's pray. Almighty God, You have surprised us with Your presence in unexpected ways. And the expectations of our routine, we have missed the treasure that You place before us. We come to worship You in community, often expecting nothing more than the usual. We begin our days, our weeks, assuming all will run as it always has. We do not look for the unexpected, for Your active presence in our daily lives. And for that, we confess our sorrow. Forgive us for not allowing our eyes to catch the unexpected, to glimpse Your glory in the ordinary. May this season, may we see the presence of Your Son by the power of Your Spirit in new and transformative ways. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist. Thank you for joining us this day on this first Sunday in the month of May. And as we continue to worship during this Easter season, our scripture focus and our sermon this morning turns to one of the post-resurrection appearances Jesus has with Peter and the disciples. Now, I do not know about you, but I think life has all these big challenges that we must face. The issue is not, will we have challenges in life? The issue is, how will we deal with the challenges that ultimately come our way? I heard a pastor once say this: the trouble with life is that it is so daily. Let me repeat that. The trouble with life is that it is so daily. One of the hardest things about life is the discouragement that comes at the hands of people. One of my divinity school professors once joked that ministry would be a cakewalk if it weren't for people. Now, you might joke, but that's the truth. How many of you have ever said deep down inside, I just did not think it would turn out like this? How many of you said that this week? How many of you said that today? I imagine that many of you have said this. I just did not think it would turn out like this. It isn't long before the waves of discouragement and disappointment begin to bury your heart and your spirit. You work hard to keep going, but something seems to be just dying deep inside. If the discouragement doesn't get you, then failure will begin to haunt you. You will think, I'm not really worthy. I am such a failure. I am such a loser. If those kinds of things do not get to you, then the distractions of life will get to you. Cash, comfort, and the rest. The wonderful lures that are trolled by your heart, by your mind, and life in this world that will totally distract you from the things that really do matter. The things that really do count. If you can identify with anything I have said already this morning, please know that you're not alone. Please know you're not alone, because we all have felt this. Some of God's best people struggled so deeply with these types of things that they began to go what I like to call off mission or off calling. One of these people is one of our favorite guys that we like to talk about in the New Testament, a man by the name of Peter. We meet him and some of the other disciples today in our story, our sermon focus this morning, after the resurrection, returning to their roots. And that's why my sermon today is called Gone Fishing. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We're picking up the story where we have carried on from the last couple weeks, even from Resurrection Sunday morning. Last week we talked about in chapter 20 when Jesus appears to the disciples, specifically talking to Thomas in the room, the upper room. And so this is the story that comes in the fourth gospel right after this. So reading John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you had just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, I've read a lot of sermons on this text and have preached quite a few myself before I finally landed on what I think is really being said here. First point out of this sermon that I think we truly need to understand is this: if we love Christ, we will care about what he cares about. It's pretty straightforward. If we truly love Christ, we will care about what he cares about. It's all in the words that Jesus says to Peter. And he says this: "Do you agape me?" Yes, I didn't mess that up. "Do you agape me?" You've probably been hanging around church long enough to know that agape love is the highest form of love, agape being Greek. It's the highest form of love. It's not an emotional response. It is volitional. Agape love is a commitment to loving regardless of what comes back or what comes your way. It is a choice that I make to care for you and your needs. It is the word most often used to describe God's love to us. That is agape love. And so Jesus says to Peter in this back and forth, "Peter, do you agape me?" But the thing we don't see in English is how Peter replies. In English, we see that Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But Peter doesn't say back to him, "I agape you." You see, Peter says instead, he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." Did you catch the difference? Phileo and agape in Greek are not the same thing. In English, We don't see it. But in Greek, there is truly a difference. You see, phileo is the word for brotherly love. I've heard it said that in this story, Jesus is trying to ratchet up Peter's level of commitment to him. That theory falls apart a little bit because in the third question that Jesus asked Peter, he finally says to Peter, Peter, do you phileo me instead? First he says, do you agape me? Second time he says, do you agape me? And the third time he says, Peter, do you phileo me? I don't know if Jesus got frustrated with Peter. I don't know if he was trying to make a point to Peter, but what I do know is this. Why did Jesus change? In all of Jesus' preaching, in all of Jesus' teaching, Jesus never lowers the bar of commitment for anyone. And so he's not lowering the bar here for Peter. Jesus never lowers the bar for any of us. He never settles for anybody. So interestingly, in the history of the word of Greek, in the history of the word of love used in the New Testament and how it applies, sometimes phileo and agape kind of go like hand in hand. They kind of interlock fingers. You see, when you put your fingers together, did you know the weakest part of your hand is that part of your hand? Did you realize that? Your fingers are pretty strong, but it's that in middle part. Ever gotten hit there before by anything? Right? And you thought some of the words that you're not supposed to think about in your mind? Yeah, that's that weak part of your hand. But if you ever lock hands with somebody, their strength is covering your weakness. You see, your strength is there, and their strength is all of a sudden covering your weakness, and your strength is covering their weakness. That's the way agape and phileo is often worked throughout Scripture. And see, that's what Jesus is trying to get to with Peter. He says, Peter, I agape you. I love you with the love that God can only love you. And I want you to love me back the same way. But if you can't get to that level, I want you to phileo me. And where you phileo me, I'm going to lock my fingers with you and agape you too. So when you phileo me, I'm going to agape you and I'm going to cover your weakness. I'm going to cover where you fail. Now, we've always heard the scripture passages that Jesus is trying to get correction for Jesus' three denials, right? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that Jesus was asking three times to forgive Jesus, Peter. We've heard that, right? That's a great Sunday school lesson, right? Sounds good, right? It's not there. That's not there. It makes a good, easy Sunday school lesson. It's not there in Scripture. It's not there. But what Jesus is trying to say to him is, I want your love at a level that I can trust you to make a difference in this world. He's saying, I've already forgiven you for your discretion. He forgives you. He's forgiven Peter. It's not about what Peter says here. I forgive you, but I know you're going to have weakness. And I've tried to meet you in your weakness. And Peter, guess what? I'm going to keep doing that because I know you're going to make a lot of mistakes by your own. But when you have those mistakes, guess who's going to be walking beside you, not literally, but figuratively, meeting you where you need to be met? And that's Jesus. But it meets not just with words, because it comes with actions. Because Jesus, on each one of them, he says, he follows it up when Peter responds, you know I love you, you know I love you, you know I love you, when Jesus doesn't say, well, thank you, that sounds great, thank you for your words, that's all I need. He says something else. He says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, then show me, prove it to me. Jesus is talking about people and their need to be fed. He is talking about giving yourself to the needs and nourishment of people. You and I need to remember that when Christ came here to earth, he was passionately addicted to one commodity on this planet. The one thing that Jesus was addicted to on this planet was people. There was nothing else. He was addicted to people and his relationship with them. We never hear him say to Judas, look at that nice hill over there. How much money do we have in the treasury? Why don't we just go purchase that hill so after I die, we'll build a messianic library there so that people can travel there and read books about all the things that I did. That's not what Jesus did. He met people where they are. He was always into people. He says to Peter, I will know that you love me when you care about people, when you care about what I care about. Then I will know. When Christ came, he did not spend most of his time with religious folks. In fact, he has strong words about their hypocrisy, how their structures and rules oppressed people, and how they totally missed the point of caring for people. Instead, Jesus spent most of his time with the marginalized, the poor, the oppressed, and the disadvantaged. If we're going to care about people, we might want to think of people whose needs are great, whose lives are marginalized, who live without hope, helpless in the face of phenomenal odds of life against them. If we care like Jesus cared, it's not about what we say, it's about what we do. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what Jesus was teaching to Peter in his last appearance to him. The second thing we've got to remember is this. If we love Christ, we will stay on mission. When I think about this triple interrogation, I think about how traumatic it would be for Jesus to go after me, to question me three times over the exact same point. And why is Jesus hounding Peter like this? The answer to that question is not found in the immediate context, so we have to go a little bit broader. Look back at verse 1 in this passage. Simon Peter says to many of the disciples, let's go back to what we know how to do. I'm going to go back to what makes me feel good, what makes me feel comfortable. I'm going to go back to fishing. Let's get life back under control. Let's go fishing. And who knows? Let's start a fishing business. I'm good at it. Some of you are good at it. I can teach you how to do this. Let's go fishing. And for them to do what Peter is suggesting, they would have to go off mission or go off calling, threatening the very purpose of the ongoing work of God in their lives. Had they chosen to live the life of a fisherman, guess what? You and I would not be here today. Just think about that. If they would have stuck with fishing, if they would have stayed in the boat, if Jesus would have never appeared to them in this moment, you and I would not be here. Sometimes we don't think the little decisions in life can affect great things. And it's not just you and me. It's every Christian across this world. If they would have stayed in the boat fishing, if they would have kept their fishing business going, you and I would not be here. I'm not sure I would blame them, though, because I would have been discouraged too. I think I would be saying, I do not think this is turning out the way I thought this would. For 3 years, they walked with the headliner. They were in the spotlight. Their expectation was not that Jesus would go to the cross to bring in a spiritual kingdom, but that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and bring in a social, political, economic kingdom to restore Israel to its former glory and sit on the throne of David. Guess who they thought would be in the king's cabinet? They were thinking themselves. But Jesus makes this announcement. That sort of thing is wrong. That's wrong. That's not why he came. The kingdom will come someday, but I'm going to the cross and you're going to suffer. Jesus goes to the cross and they shudder behind locked doors for fear that they too will be killed by the Roman government. But then they hear the word, "He is risen." Can you imagine how their hearts leapt within them? He's alive. He's coming back. Here we go again. But Jesus never shows up. But when he finally does, he shows up in a strange way. It's not the way that he was there before. They are in a room, and there he is. He materializes. He shows them the wounds. He eats with them, and then he's gone again. Do you think they would be a little discouraged at this? I think so. Might your heart be saying the same thing? I did not think it was going to turn out like this. How about we just go back to life as it was before? Before the 3 years of following him. Back to what we know about. Something that we can control. No wonder they're distracted by the earth side stuff. Saying, let's open a fishing business. And maybe we'll have enough money to buy food, to buy robes, to buy new sandals, three things that they didn't for the last 3 years. And when Peter brought the idea of returning to the nets, the rest of the disciples says, yeah, we'll go with you. You've been our leader. We'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. And they fished all night and they did not catch a thing. How many times have you been in a boat and you went fishing, you caught nothing? Raise your hand. Confess it today. You've been there. It's lots of fun, right? You get sunburn and that's it. They fished all night. They didn't get sunburn. And they did not catch anything. Now, if you've taken a day off to go fishing, catching nothing is not a big deal. However, if it's the first day of your new business and you don't catch anything, now that's huge. Can you picture them working hard, fishing all night? And this was hard work, too. Hauling in heavy water-soaked nets. Each time they drew that net in during the night, it was completely empty. Think of the discouragement compounded over and over and over again. If you bail on Jesus, going off mission because you think there is something better out there, you will fish all night, and in the end, you will catch nothing. Remember that. Whatever you choose, whether it's fishing or something else, you will catch nothing. When you walk through the gates, you will know that you have spent your life catching nothing. The text says that a day breaks and a man appears on the beach. They do not know it's Jesus. The guy on the shore calls out, "Hey, how's fishing?" The reply, "It stinks. We fished all night and we caught nothing." Now put yourself in the disciples' place. The guy on the beach then tells them to try something new. Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. They were probably thinking to themselves, where did this guy come from? Who does he think he is? Why does he think this would work? But you know what happened when they pull the nets back in? They are full of fish. Now, John tells us that Peter puts his robe on, climbs overboard again. Remember, he likes going overboard. Peter's like that. And he sloshes through the shallows to meet Christ while the others row the boat in. Why would Peter jump off the side of the boat and run to meet Christ? Why would Peter do this? Why would this be Peter's response? You see, this is not the first time this miracle has happened to Peter. In Luke 5, Jesus is ministering to the crowds with his back to the sea. The crowds are pressing in on him, standing in the shallow waters. He sees fishermen mending their nets. He says, "Would you put me in your boat and row me out a little bit so I can finish fishing and finish teaching?" And they agree. They rowed Jesus out a little bit. He finished his teaching, and then the crowd disappears. He then turned to the fishermen and he said, "How's fishing?" And their reply was exactly the same it was that morning. "It stinks. We fished all night and caught nothing." And Jesus replies, "Let's ride out a little bit farther. And let's throw your nets on the other side of the boat." Let's throw your nets on the other side of the boat. When they did, the net was so full of fish that it began to break with the weight. The same story this same exact story as before. And at that moment, Peter said, and the first time Peter falls on his face before Christ and he shouts, "Depart from me, woe is me, I am a sinner." Peter is so struck by Jesus' authoritative teaching and by the person whom the fish obeyed that he cries out as a repentant sinner. As Jesus always does to the repentant sinner's cry, he gives not a word of judgment, but the motion of mercy. He says, "Peter, get up. Follow me. From now on, you will no longer be a fisher of fish, but you will become a fisher of people." People. Humans. The one thing that Jesus was addicted to, helping people. Luke says that immediately the fishermen left their nets and they followed Jesus. They immediately got into the people business. I'll tell you why Peter now jumps off the boat and runs to Christ. Because Jesus planned this second miracle to take Peter back to that very first calling. This is the exact same calling that Peter had before. He was bringing him back to the beginning. Sometimes we have to be brought back to that moment of change in our spiritual lives. And Jesus knew that's where Peter needed to be. And he brought him back in the exact same way. And it was so compellingly real, so totally worthy of everything in his life, so that he would give up his business for fish and that he would follow Christ once again. Maybe this is a good thing for those of us who are a little discouraged in life. If we're not turning out the way we think things should turn out, if you're walking with Christ, go back to the beginning of your calling. If that's where you're wanting to be, if things are discouraging, go back to the beginning of your following of Christ. That's what Peter got brought back to, and he changed the way the rest of his life went. Remediate your heart by remembering that day. Remember when Christ was so compelling, so worthy. Remember when you came to the cross and he bathed you in his precious blood and set you free. Remember when you said, "I will give it all for you." Has Jesus changed? No. He's the same as he was in the beginning. We've just swayed away. Come back to him. Has the needs of people changed in this world? No. It's still there. Let's go after them. Remember that beginning. This was a very intentional miracle on Christ's part. The miracle was not only to put the fish into the net, but also to keep the fish out of the net the night before. Jesus was working that whole night, and he was working in the morning. So as Peter ran to the shore and the other disciples joined him, the text says this: they found there a charcoal fire. Now, the thing that we sometimes forget about the gospel writers is this. The gospel writer only has so many words to tell his story. So every word and every detail by every gospel writer is important and it is pivotal. So why in the world does John, the fourth gospel writer, say they found a charcoal fire that Christ has lit? Why is that detail in there? You see, the word charcoal is only used 2 times in the entire New Testament. 2 times. The first time is right, well, the one time is right here in this story. Jesus lit a charcoal fire on the shore for the disciples for this breakfast. The other time that charcoal is mentioned is when Peter was warming himself by a charcoal fire in the courts after Jesus had been arrested. The same location when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. It's not a coincidence that the gospel writer used charcoal to mention twice about Peter and where he had been and where he was now. I cannot help but wonder if as Peter ran to the shore, that aroma of charcoal did not immediately remind him of the aroma of charcoal where he had stood, warming himself, betraying the Lord. Jesus addressed his failure around the fire saying, "I know that you failed, Peter, but I desperately want to use you." Isn't it nice that Jesus can use our failures? If he waited for only perfect people to get involved, he would still be doing it all by himself. At this charcoal fire, he calls Peter back. He brings him back to the beginning, and he calls him back and he says, I need you to help people, because that's who I am and that's who you're called to be. The other thing that strikes me about this story is that you know that a fisherman probably was involved in writing it, because it said that they counted all the fish. Only fishermen count all the fish, right? You said, I just caught a lot of fish. No, I caught 153 large fish. The only fisherman says that. But when the disciples came to shore, it's told us that Jesus was already cooking fillets of fish and bread. He said, bring some of those fish as well. Jesus was already cooking fish and bread that he had brought. Where do those fish come from? Now, you've heard about the Last Supper, but this is the Last Breakfast. And I think it's almost as important. I think Jesus is making this point. You thought you had to go off mission, off calling to care for your needs. You thought you had to go off mission, off calling to get a little bit more cash. But don't you see, I will provide for you. I will provide. What a dramatic example of how Jesus will provide for us when we stay on mission. He will not only provide for us, but will provide generously and abundantly. 153 large fish full, plus the ones frying on the fire that were already cooked. The next time you think about going off mission, the next time you think about compromising your integrity, the next time you think about cheating the kingdom for a little extra cash, please remember that you will always end up with an empty net. Jesus will provide for you. That's the point he's making here. Last look at that first question. It's not like the second and the third, because Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What does the these mean? My first thought is that Jesus is talking about the other disciples. Was Jesus saying the other disciples? But is Jesus really going to launch into a love-off contest here on the shore? The answer is no. He was doing this. He was talking. He's already heard about the who's the greatest in the kingdom debate by the disciples, and he wasn't going there. There is only one thing left of this story that he could be making that comparison to. Peter, do you love me more than these? The only other thing there are 153 slimy, scaly fish. Do you love me more than what you were trying to go catch on your own? Do you love me more than fish, Peter? Do you love me more than fish? I think Jesus would ask the same question of us. I don't know not what it is that tempts you off mission or calling. It may be fish. It probably isn't. I do not know that what tempts you not to get back on mission or calling. I just know that sometimes we get caught up in ourselves and the world, and the needs of the marginalized, the oppressed, and the hopeless do not even cross our minds. All I know is this. The problem is the fish. It is the fish that keeps us off mission. In closing this morning, what are the fish in your life? What are the fish in your life? Are they your own dreams, your desire for comfort, or something else that you've chosen over the fullness of Christ? I want you to hear Jesus say this morning, do you love me more than you fill in the blank? For Peter, it was fish. For you, it may be something else. I would like to believe that God would walk into our hearts like he always does. He pushes all that stuff aside and he goes right up to your heart. And he says, I wonder if he sees when he gets there a wide open door to a heart that beats with the passion for him and the passion for helping other people. Or I just wonder if there's a little sign swinging on the door of your heart that simply says this, gone fishing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for coming to Peter, to embracing him, to meeting him where he was, recognizing that he needed to go back to the beginning, to rekindle that flame, to love people, and most importantly, to love you. Thank you for allowing us to see that model, that we can be in the same situation. Maybe we're on the boat just like Peter is. Maybe we're in the water trying to get to shore to Jesus. Maybe we're sitting on the beach eating breakfast with you, or maybe, just maybe, we're having that discussion with him, with you. Wherever we are in this story, may we recognize that you are right there and you want that connection, and that you're embracing us and you're loving us and you're saying, stay on mission. Stay on mission and go out and love people. May we hear that this morning. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Maybe this morning, for the very first time, you've heard that Jesus is speaking to you, trying to embrace you. And because of that call, you're ready to accept him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be down front, ready to help you understand what that means and how it goes forth from your life. Maybe today you're looking for a church family that just seeks to honor God and that seeks to love people in so many different ways. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Or maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're asking questions that life has brought your way. If you're there, let me help. Let me pray for you. Let one of our deacons come to the altar. Pray to the Lord. Whatever it is you need this day, don't let this sign be standing on your heart as you leave this place today. Let's stand and sing. Go out in this world. Know that we go out into a world of individuals that need to be loved. Carry the love of Christ with you. Go love people. That's what Christ did, and that's what Christ wants us to do. Go in peace.